Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Next 4 Years podcast. My name is Connor Payton, and I'll be your host. This show normally features in-depth interviews and conversations with friends, coworkers, and other young adults regarding life post-college. Thank you to everyone who listened to the solo round last week, where I didn't have a guest. It was a shorter episode. I got a lot of good feedback on that episode, so I'm going to be intermixing that format into this show every so often, maybe once or twice a month. But we're back to the regular format this week. I have an interview with a good buddy of mine, Alec Mishra. Alec and I have known each other for about 20 years, and he actually played soccer in college, so we talk about what that is like. And he's really an expert in keeping connections and using them as resources in your career. So I think you'll get a lot out of this podcast. As always, I would love to hear from you and get as much feedback as possible. You can reach me on Twitter at ConnorPayton22 or shoot me an email at ConnorPayton@gmail.com. I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes, tell your friends to subscribe, share the show. We would love to get more listeners. So keep it up. Thank you so much. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Alec Mishra.
This is the Next 4 Years with Connor Payton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Next 4 Years. I'm joined today by one of my oldest friends from my time of when I used to live in San Francisco, California, Alec Mishra. Alec, how are you?
Doing well, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. I've been meaning to kind of get you on the show for a while. I want to talk about March Madness. So this episode is going to air after the first two rounds have been played. So do you have any bold predictions for things that have happened already, upsets you want to call?
So I wish I had my bracket open here, but let's see. I don't think you're going to like this one, but I'm a big fan of SMU here.
Cool for TCU.
Yep, so I'm feeling they're one of my sleeper teams. I think I have them going to the 16. Actually, I have Oregon in the Final Four. So that's a lot of people go UCLA there, but for the Pac-12 team, but I actually Kentucky winning it all this year.
Okay.
You know, I think they got the talent. I think that as a 2 seed, you know, they weren't very talked about this year. Maybe I wanted this year to try to have someone that not everyone else is going to pick as a champion.
Yeah, so. I think that's a good pick. I have North Carolina winning it all, so out of that same region.
First person I've heard to go that route, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought process. I just think they have everyone's on Duke, so I'm trying to be the one who's a little smarter, saying, no, not Duke, I'm going North Carolina. So we'll see how that works, and hopefully some of those picks you gave out have come true, or at least following through in the first 2 days.
And I think we'll be a few days from facing off after that, right? If both of our brackets go to plan.
Kentucky. UNC. Yeah, exactly. That would be a great matchup. Talk about a blue blood matchup. So we've known each other for a really long time. We met when we were in, was it preschool or kindergarten?
Yeah. Yeah. So we would have been 4.
And we're 24 now, so we've literally known each other for 2 decades now. That's pretty incredible. We met.
I hadn't actually thought about it till now.
Yeah, we met. We lived in kind of the suburbs of San Francisco in a town called San Mateo. I tell people that's where Tom Brady's from.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I guess, depends. Some people love it, some people hate that.
Right. No, I know you've never really been a Patriots fan, but that is where Tom Brady's from.
And, yeah.
Super Bowl champion right now, and so that's kind of one of the town's claim to fames. And I know you kind of started your career there, so I want to get to that. But let's first talk about your college experience, because you played college soccer at Kenyon, correct?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did. We were some good teams out there for sure. I was injured for most of it, so can't say I contributed, but I like to think I contributed from the bench. It's maybe harassing their outside back from time to time. But yeah, I went out there, Kenyon College, about an hour outside of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering exactly where it was located. I know it was in Ohio, so an hour outside of Columbus. Can you kind of walk me through what it was like to be on a college team in terms of just your practice schedule versus your class schedule and traveling?
Well, we were looking that there's never anything. He wasn't a believer in the morning practice. So okay. If anything in the, you know, would be out of season, in season, pretty predictable. Just kind of your after school, after classes, get out 4 to 6 or 7, something like that. And then when the off season, we would go later. We'd maybe do like a 9 to 11 PM one. So it's, you knew how to work. You knew you're either working before or after, sometimes both. But I think that was always something that I would tell a lot of people when they're thinking about getting into college sports. Like, the good thing, it's like, you from day one, you have a network support system, what have you, for like, if you're, say, struggling with the class, you know, chances are,
sure,
someone on the team older than you has taken it and they'll be able to help out.
That's really great. And it kind of sounds a lot like maybe a more intense version of playing a high school sport, where you have a more strict schedule. When you're playing in high school, you go to class and then you have your practices, and it's a very rigid schedule. Whereas maybe a traditional college experience, you go to class and then you kind of have a lot of free time, and there's, you know, more time to get in trouble and not do homework, right? I've always kind of said that I was better at studying in my classes when I was busier, just because I was more rigid about making sure my work was done.
Yeah, I think that's what our coach would always say, is that, guys, believe it or not, your grades are, our team GPA was higher in the fall. I mean, you get set on the schedule, and that, you know, it's either your work's gonna get done or it's not, but like, you know, you have this timeline that you're constantly working against. So I think that was always really helpful for planning purposes. And also, like, obviously time on buses is, you're either sleeping or you're reading or writing an essay or something. So, you know, if you do find the time here and there.
What was the farthest you ever traveled for a match or a tournament?
For me personally, it was 3 to 5 hours into Indiana, middle of nowhere. So, yeah, and I think that for some of the times we would travel into more northeast, like into Pennsylvania or Massachusetts area before. I didn't make those trips personally, but I know that, yeah, not too far. You know, Division III, you have a lot of, especially, you'd be shocked by how many colleges there were in Ohio that all have around 2,000 people or less. So we never really had to go that far.
Gee, I mean, 5 hours is still a long trip just for a match. And sometimes you'd be traveling back, you know, that night or something, I'm sure. And, you know, having to stay in a hotel and travel back the next day. And it just kind of changes up your experience. It's certainly different than the traditional one, but getting into your studies, what did you end up majoring in at Kenyon?
So I majored in political science, and then I minored in classics and in history.
Okay, and what got you interested in those topics?
Well, Kenyon is interesting in the sense that they don't really have any pre-professional degrees that you might have at a bigger school. So, you know, there aren't that many majors either, maybe something around 30. I think the most popular majors are English and econ, just to give like a perspective of how like broad they can be. And for me, I knew that I didn't want to do anything quantitative. So that even ruled out econ for me. And political science, I felt that it was just always interest. Politics was just something I was always interested in, just learning about, something you follow in the news, especially for me. My focus is more on international relations and defense and intelligence policy. So, I mean, it's stuff that's the interesting, like the spy movies, you know, it's like that just like got me interested in that. So that was easy to gravitate towards in that sense. And I also just knew that I wanted to do something where it was reading and writing and learning how to analyze and then summarize, present what you find, and while still telling the story, getting your narrative across. So I think that I felt that poli-sci was definitely the best combination of that.
That's great. Have you ever thought about actually going into any kind of politics or political theory profession? Because we'll get into what you're doing now, but your career is along a different path currently.
Yeah, I did, actually. I'd say that my senior year, I was definitely doing a bit of a parallel path for looking more towards this marketing or consulting fields that I'm in now versus something in the government or public policy or foreign policy related. Biggest reason why I didn't, it was a lot of the jobs that I wanted they said, well, you need to have another degree, so go and get your master's. And they said, oh, okay, well, how does that work? And I'm talking to some of the Kenyan alumni, they said, well, like, usually to get in one of those master's programs, you have to go work on the Hill, do like some serious grunt work, unpaid internships. And I just thought, I can't justify moving across the country to a city where I don't really know anyone. My family doesn't know anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And really have, I mean, strictly looking financially, it would be too uncertain, up in the air.
Yeah.
And then I think with that weighing there, that really told me, I said, okay, if that's what my concern is, then this profession really isn't calling me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not willing to make those sacrifices to go do that.
Yeah, totally makes sense. That's kind of a really tough decision that I think a lot of college graduates have to make, is upon graduation, you might have a pretty good option in your career, but if it involves moving far away, often far away from your family, that's really tough to do, especially if finances are going to be tough, if you're out there on your own, especially if you're still single and don't have a spouse or someone to help you with that. That could be a really tough thing to try to tackle or face. Upon graduation, you moved back to the San Francisco area, and you were working for IMG, correct?
Yep. Yeah, it's WME IMG. They're this... WME was this talent agency. So if anyone wants watches Entourage, Ari is based off of the real-life Ari who founded WME.
And then okay.
IMG, yeah, IMG did have talent as well, but it was really more in the sports and event marketing and event management space. So I was on the IMG side working in sponsorships and their sponsorship practice.
Okay, and what was your kind of day-to-day activities like working for them?
Well, as the most junior in the office, actually, I would say at least, if sometimes really even more, my responsibilities would be almost on an administrative side. You know, it's the person who's ordering supplies on Staples and stuff like that, getting... well, lunches, breakfasts, coffee for meetings, and sending boxes, like doing all the UPS labels for people. So that was, that was really what a lot of it would be. But then when I would get involved, which they did do a good job of, the company did get a good job of getting me involved with these, more on the marketing and the sponsorship side of things, it would be something on the more mundane side, would be putting together like an agenda for a sponsored event.
Okay.
Of course, I wasn't, would get to listen in on the kind of the strategy side of it. How are we going to activate this event? What's the message they're trying to send and all that. And even though I was just really on the bottom of compiling it, that was a valuable experience one as well. My favorite part was more in the research and business development side, like trying to identify new sponsorship opportunities and partnerships for the office's client at the time, which was is Visa.
It
was cool to get, so like the types of projects I would get into, which was great for me, would be around the Olympics, because it was in I was there May 2015 to April 2016, so Olympic year. So got to be involved in that as well as a little bit already looking ahead to World Cup 2018. And then they also did some, the more entered, they would sponsor some movies, dinners and wine tasting events. So that was more on the smaller side.
Yeah.
Sports was definitely what I was more interested in.
All of those events sound like they'd be a lot of fun to work on and super interesting. How did you get involved with the company? Did you have a connection in college or personally that you were able to kind of make that connection to move over there?
Yeah, this is actually it actually goes back to St. Matthews.
Oh, school. Yeah, for the listeners, none of them would know, yeah. I guess. That's where Alec and I went to elementary school, and you continued on to middle school there.
Yeah, our middle school basketball coach. He, really, really great guy, still in touch with him to this day, one of the smartest, like most talented people I've known in the profession. And but he was our basketball coach. He played ball at Harvard a while ago, and then just started coaching. I don't remember what his connection was to St. Matthews, but he had one, and so he got involved coaching us in sixth grade. And just after practice, after games, we got to know him. My dad just hit it off with him. So I found out he worked at a sports marketing, and just thought in middle school. So I have to actually credit my dad for this one, that he maintained this connection just into this day. He tells me, like, I just thought that he was going to do something you might want to do and that you'd be a good fit for. And he was an awesome guy. So they just stayed in touch through the years. And then finally, I did an internship for him my junior year of going into senior, or my summer going to senior year of college. So mm-hmm. I actually worked directly for him at a smaller soccer specific marketing firm. It was actually a soccer tournament, a national tournament that we did the marketing for. So he was running that. And so he brought me on board over there. And then the following year, he just said, IMG is one of the best, if not the best, group around in San Francisco. And so he, and being that he used to work there, his old boss was still the boss of this office. And he spoke really, really highly of him. And I would as well, and with the best, another one of the best people I've met.
Awesome.
And so he passed my resume along there. And then I got to, got involved over there.
Wow. I preach a lot on this podcast that it's so important to keep connections and use those connections to find your career path and other positions that you want to move into. I don't know that I've ever said to keep in touch with middle school sports coaches. What a connection. That's really great that you were able to keep that, and your dad helped facilitate that, and everything worked out. I mean, what a great example of just making sure you never know who's going to be able to help you out later in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you were there for what, a year or so?
A little less. Yeah, I think 10 months.
10 months. And you moved on to work for Accenture. And I've actually had a guest on this podcast already who's worked for Accenture, my former roommate. So that's kind of a small world that this is going to be episode 9, I believe, and we already have 2 Accenture workers. But you moved off to New York. You moved to the opposite side of the country.
Yeah, I did. I moved out there in June, so I started up at first at Accenture at the end of June. It really ended up being, kind of almost hard to believe, is that I really had more friends who actually moved out to New York than who stayed in San Francisco. All of my best friends from college, all of my roommates, actually, except for one, all ended up in New York. My girlfriend from college ended up in, she's here in New York as well. So I knew I wanted, even with or without switching jobs or even staying at IMG, I knew I wanted to move out here.
Okay.
And so, and having so many good, close friends here made the transition really easy. I almost feel like I didn't have to go through a move. It's almost like just going back to college again.
Yeah.
To some extent, yeah.
Well, that's great that you had so many connections out there and you were able to move out there so easily. How did you get involved with Accenture?
So that one, I have to credit Dr. Mishra for this one. His, one of his patients, who he really hit it off with, and I think you might have some business with. He was worked at Accenture for a long time. He said he started his career there. I think he might have worked maybe even up to 10 years there. And he said it's a great, really great company for young people to get started at. And so he introduced me to one of his former colleagues there, who got my resume in the system. And then it was a long process, actually. It took a few months from start to finish, over all the various stages of interviews on the phone or in person.
Okay, well, hey, I'm glad that all worked out. And, I mean, you always had your eyes set on New York, so that's great that you're able to use your connections via your dad and head on out there. And do you live with college roommates?
Not one of my actual roommates from college, but one of my best friends from college for sure. And we actually... He was the way we became best friends was through we studied together abroad together in Copenhagen.
Oh, okay.
And so he moved out to the city at the same time I did. He spent the last year between actually Houston and DC, and then he took a trip, was also the same plan for me, had eyes on New York, and worked out perfectly. We both started in June, so
yeah. Hey, that is perfect. I still live with my random potluck freshman year roommate. TCU paired us together when we signed up, because we both signed up for the same dorm, and here we are. We still live together in Dallas 6 years later. Yeah, it's kind of a weird story, but so I totally believe in kind of keeping those friendly connections, because it's a lot cheaper to live with somebody rather than live by yourself in most cities. So I totally believe in that. Where in New York do you live?
So the neighborhood's called Kips Bay. It's on the east side, a little bit south of Midtown, north of the East Village. Really a lot of recent grads. But, you know, the people who couldn't quite make it to the East Village yet, that's where they all end up in Kips Bay.
Okay, and how far are you from your office? And I know you travel during the week, so can you kind of talk about that?
So I'm on the road at my client site Monday morning through Thursday evening. Luckily for me, that's only up in Connecticut, about hour and a half on a train. So I'm getting door to door about 2 hours, which can't really complain about when I've plenty of friends and coworkers on the project who are flying in.
Right.
So then the good perk of that being on the road is that on Friday I can just work from my living room. So I've been to the Accenture office, I think maybe 5 or 6 times.
Wow. So just for like orientation stuff.
Yeah. I'd say 5 or 6, not counting the week of orientation. Yeah. I've ever since I was staffed on this project. I mean, after between orientation and, starting up the client, they call it being on the bench, where you're just kind of like emailing people, hoping that they have a project for you. And so I went to the office a few times for that, just to hang out, see if I can meet people. But yeah, ever since then, I think it's been maybe 2-3 times. It would be 25 minutes if I was to go.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I mentioned the first person from Accenture that I interviewed, he had a very similar situation down here in Dallas when he first started. He was on the bench and looking for a project, and he was put on a project in St. Louis, so he flies up there. So I think you kind of got a pretty decent deal to only have to drive 2 hours for your project and be able to work from your living room on Fridays. That's a pretty sweet deal. Although I'm not really one to talk, I have a pretty great deal too. It takes me about 20 to 30 minutes to get to work, and I just have to do that Monday through Friday. So it's not too bad at all here in Dallas. But cool, I have a little more general questions that I kind of ask my guests, not necessarily specific about your work situation, but I want to talk about what were your general emotions, fears, and excitements upon graduation?
I would say first it really was excited. Definitely didn't do the whole college class planning correctly. Senior year, definitely my hardest year. So honestly, by the time it was done, I mean, I really didn't spare myself senior year to pick up a few of, like, it was really to close out the minors that I had. It did not really do myself any favors there, unfortunately. So I was ready just to be done. Was tired. There was a few classes I was just didn't end up being as interested in as I hoped. So I was like, well, I'm just ready to not have to do a lot of work, try really hard for classes I wasn't necessarily interested in. And I was excited about the job as well. Yeah, I was excited, I would say. But then I think it really, and that almost kind of drowned out a bit of the, fear's not the right word, but it would be a bit of the disappointment almost, maybe not even, but I guess the realization that, wow, like, oh, everyone is moving to New York. Like, that was actually a really specific thought I had.
And meanwhile, you were planning on moving back to San Francisco.
Yeah. Like, and then another one. Yeah. And I had some other friends who I knew would be coming back eventually, say they had an extra semester or something like that. But it was especially of the people, and then I had some friends from the Bay Area who I met at Kenyon. And so I knew it get to, it's not like it was like all by myself or have to like reconnect with high school friends that may say maybe I hadn't talked to you 2 or 3 years. Yeah, it was definitely that sense like, oh, I might be missing out a little bit. And yeah, between my friends and my girlfriend moving out there as well, I knew I thought it would be a lot easier, and then it was about a month in. I was like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I think that disappointment, you said that word in there upon graduation. That was definitely something I felt because, you know, this podcast is called The Next 4 Years because college is the best 4 years of your life. Well, here we are in the next 4 years and just trying to survive. And so I think I felt that feeling of disappointment a lot upon graduation. I only live about 45 minutes from where I went to college, and I have a younger sister still in school, and I'm very envious of them. But here we are, and you got to move on with life and do the best you can. So I think that word disappointment is certainly applicable for many college students. You live in a very expensive city to live in. Can you kind of talk about how you go about budgeting?
Well, let's see. I was lucky that when I did live in San Francisco, I was at home. So okay. I had a lot of I was fortunate to be able to come to New York with a bit of a foundation that, I mean, that lasted me from the month that I was not working at all through the month of my first paycheck. So
about 2 months there, right?
I had about two to three months of float that my first job bought me. And as far as specific strategies, I'd say the only one I adhere to, the one hard and fast rule I have is to every paycheck I take 25% and I send it straight to a savings that I just don't touch. I almost forget that it's there, so that can, with the hope then that like if I were to quit or something happened, for I would have like say 5-6 months of ability to support myself, which that's really the goal that I've been working for. That's the numbers that my parents and I have put together.
Yeah, that's great that you actually take part of your check and have it sent out there. And it's even better that you forget about it, because I think while some people might remember to save, they might not remember to keep it in savings and not spend it as soon as they can. You mentioned that you have been that you're dating your college girlfriend still. How long have you been together?
Oh, actually, it's going to be 4 years at the end of this month.
Oh man, that's too long. What is it like to kind of date in New York City? There's got to be a lot of things to do out there. I mean, what a fun city to be in.
Yeah, and I think that it's what's interesting is like we have to find ways to like fit it in over the 3 or 4 days, which I think is actually a blessing to some extent, that it's your, I feel like we're more motivated. But I mean, she works a lot as well, so yeah, we're both busy for sure, but it's opportunities, I think, yeah, are really endless. What was great was that she lived in Brooklyn for a little while, so that was 2030. It's a totally different feel, and I loved it out there. I would love to live out there myself. Now she lives a lot closer, about 10-15 minute walk from me, but that was just like, to have the access, we would just go walk around there. It's great. And it's been, you know, the winter's winter, so there's only so many things we can do.
Yeah, I bet.
But yeah, it definitely, I feel like yeah, together, yeah, she's been here a year and a half, and ever since she graduated, we've graduated, and then we still feel like we haven't seen nearly enough of the city.
I bet. Yeah. There's just so much opportunity, a lot of things going on, especially while you're young and you are on tighter budgets. Sometimes you're kind of restricted, but you know, once you kind of move on to the next stage, what a great city to kind of experience with a significant other. So good for you. That's really cool. Do you have future goals in terms of your career that you have, maybe, you know, 5-year, 10-year plans, even shorter term?
Yeah. So one of the cool things about Accenture is just how big it is and how many opportunities are out there. That so many different, you can specialize in just so many different fields and industries. within the firm. And I think that I wish I could be a bit more specific, but it's my hope is that my goal for 5 years from now is to have found that focus, to be a part of that, to really know what direction I want to push the rest of my career in. I think that that's a pretty standard timing at Accenture. It's kind of like around 3 or so years. That's when they really want you to really know what you want to do. And so if you look at that 5-year milestone, it would be to be really entrenched there in that position, you know, making, I don't know exactly what the title is at that point, but yeah, like knowing, okay, this is what I'm an expert in now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great goal to have, to maybe have a more linear, direct focus of what you want your career path to look like. I think that's a great one. I think I kind of want to make that a goal for myself. I've never really thought about that because I am in a similar situation where I don't exactly know what I want to do for the rest of my life. I kind of have a broad general idea. I like my current job and my current company, so I like the industry I'm in, but I'm not exactly sure what I want my, you know, title to be or what path I want to take along those lines. So I think that's a great one to have. How about this one? If you were going to write a book about anything outside of your career, what would you write about?
I would love to write just kind of about the experience, like the group of friends almost that, I mean, I think we all want to write that book about our friends who are going from high school, from college to the real world. But I think that it's doesn't necessarily have to be about me, but I think the story of just kids going to school in the middle of nowhere and then being dropped into New York City is, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
But I think
to some extent, like being at this point, I think that's where I think we all want to tell that story because we all think it's so interesting. It's so interesting because we're obviously hopefully are having a great time doing it and living it.
Well, hey, you know, people make careers doing that. They end up being good writers. I think that would be interesting if you could put a unique spin on it. Okay. What do you wish you knew upon graduation that you know now?
I wish I had an interesting one, but it would probably be just the associated cost of living. Like you're paying more than just rent all the time, and let me see if I can think of something more interesting.
Yeah, that's the toughest question. Everyone always says that's the toughest question, but I agree with you. The cost of living is a lot more than I realized when I was in school. Just it's not that things are more expensive than you think they are. It's more along the lines of you have to pay for more things to survive. That you don't really take into account. For example, college loans and car payments and paying for gas all the time, just feeding yourself, that whole thing. I don't even have cable. It's just a cost that I was kind of like, I don't need cable, you know? So that's just something I kind of cut out.
I think another one would then be to look beyond kind of just the financials. It's even though it's only been, I mean, it's hardly been a year, but it's keeping in touch with as many people as you can. I think that, I mean, I feel like I can think of examples of people who I would consider good friends in college and say, call it a group of whatever, 30, something like that. That group, as time goes on, that without talking to them, the group gets smaller and smaller. And I think that it took me a few months before I realized that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very fortunate to have some friends who are very good at keeping in touch. I'm definitely not the best at doing that. So I think that's a good...
Yeah, and I think I want to try to be that person. Yeah. You know, like that's a... Yeah.
I think that's a great quality to have, to keep in touch with college, high school friends, whatever it is. Because, I mean, look at how your career's worked out and the connections that have kind of gotten you to where you are now. Who knows? Something might work out. What should you start, stop, and keep doing to improve your current lifestyle?
I'd say the first one, keep doing. It's the say it's a combination of living within your means and like finding good people and staying with them. And I think that I am definitely in that place right now.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a keep doing. I think a start doing. I'd say that I want to find another thing to outside of work and like social life. It could be a part of social life, but you know, like.
No, I understand. Like a regular York, activity like, that you do.
Yeah, it's a big being in a big. I mean, everyone says like, "Oh, there's so many things to do here." Well, I think it's time for me to start doing that. You know, it's I need finding that extra hobby for. Yeah, you can call it a hobby, activity, group, whatever that isn't. Going to work, coming home, and doing a comedy and going out with my friends, hanging out with a girlfriend, some comedy, like finding in that. And I want to do those things all with that group of people. But let's see if we can find something new, something that we'll really remember.
How about stop doing? Is there anything you think you should stop doing?
I think we all know. I think we all might just probably our age have probably similar ideas of things we should stop doing or moderate on.
When you're 24, your body doesn't react the same way always.
Yeah, I don't need $3 slices anymore. I just need one. That's what I would stop doing.
Oh, but you have New York pizza. You sure you only need one? I mean, come on.
No, you have. Three is like one. We'd call that a large back home.
You always had a reputation. I remember growing up in elementary school for ordering way more than you can eat. Do you still do that?
Oh yeah, it's possibly it's gotten worse.
Oh no. Is there a person, book, or anything along those lines that inspires you to be successful?
To be successful. I think that I definitely consider myself very, very lucky that I think I have, that I feel like at this point in time I've already found, I can think of at least five people I really consider mentors. Two of them are absolutely my parents.
Yes.
And few of them are also people professionally. Other people I've gotten to work for. I mean, I'm back to the middle school basketball coach, my first boss at IMG, plenty of people I've gotten to know at Accenture, like people who I've already really look up to them and see them as a mentor. Yeah, someone who I want to follow their lead. I've tried to pick out the best quality. Like I feel like I can take a little bit from every single one of them, constantly trying to soak that all in. And then even peers, I mean, a lot of people I know go to work, I'm like, wow, I think you're so smart, or see like friends like you, I just know mm-hmm. how they work so hard, they're really passionate about their work. I really, really admire, have a lot of people, I feel really lucky to have a lot of people around me who I really admire.
I think it's really important to have career mentors, and even just life mentors that you can use as models, because the world is so volatile and has so many variabilities that you face every single day. It's kind of nice that you don't have to copy someone ever directly, but have one or two people that you can kind of say, hey, I could do what they did in this situation and it worked out for them. Hopefully it'll work out for me. So I think that's a great one. All right, well, thank you so much, Alec, for being on the podcast and taking the time to talk with me. If the audience has any more questions for you, where's the best place for them to reach you?
I would say Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they can find you just at Alec Mishra.
Check your mutual friends with Connor Payton.
Thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode. We will see you next week.